The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
The Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome back. We have a bonus edition of the Bastards of Boston for everyone live on the apps. You're obviously getting it now. It won't be uploaded to Apple or Spotify until Saturday morning. So if you're just joining in then, a little bit of a different episode because of the West Coast swing. But we are talking Padres and Red Sox on this episode. And then on Sunday, we'll be back to discuss what did happen in that series. So with me tonight from the Locked On Network covering the San Diego Padres, Javier Reyes. Thanks for doing this. We don't do this often, by the way. We don't bring many guests on, so I appreciate really? You doing this. And on literally like 6 minute notice, I got told no a bunch of times, and then finally someone cool enough to say, yeah, let's get on and do it.
Yeah, I figured why not, man. I mean, just you sent the message. I was already actually the middle of my episode for Friday, August 8th's episode for Locked On Padres, if anyone's curious about that, where we talked about AJ Peller and stuff. But I just got the DM and I was like, ah, why not? I'm already here. I'm already in this little spot right here. So it was all good. Just had to charge my computer a little bit. But I'm happy to meet you, man. And I'm happy to talk about a place that I loathe as a person from Jersey, as a person from the metropolitan area where we hate Boston. You know what I mean? It's we live and breathe the hatred.
So is this Northern Jersey?
This is North Jersey, yes.
Okay.
Where I am. I go to the city a lot. But it's rampant, the hatred. And what's funny is that it hasn't been as strong lately. Not just because of certain, I think, things in Boston falling off. I think it's, I don't know, it just hasn't had the same juice as it used to. And I feel like there's just a lot of other teams. And me personally, now that I cover the Padres, the Doyers, the Dodgers are a lot more of on my hate list, I think, as of late. But yeah, man, I'm still happy to be here, though.
I hope they're like poor as hell. It's like it's like they were the smart baseball team, and then it became like the Wolf of Wall Street type thing. They're all partying and doing cocaine and signing anyone and everyone, just recklessly blowing through money. So it'll be interesting to see in the years to come what kind of consequences might become of all their spending. But I don't think we'll get into it too much, but you guys did have to take out a loan to cover your payroll. And I know the Minnesota Twins were $440 million in debt, like massively over where you guys were. So, you know, you got to respect the passion for trying to win, but you know, it does literally come at a cost. So,
hey man, you know what, for me, it's all good. And you know what? I don't think rich people can even go broke, honestly. I don't know if that's even possible in today's economy. They find a way. So you know what, man, I'm with it. And I think it's been really fun for baseball. I think just seeing not just the Padres, obviously bias aside, but it's just been really, really fun following this team. Phillies have had big spending sprees of late too. But I think it's just so cool that this is a team that basically prior to AJ Preller, not to hijack the show too much, but before this, it was just, they were, you know, they were Oakland. They were the Twins. They were a team that really is kind of irrelevant in the grand scheme of baseball outside a couple Hall of Fame players. And then AJ Preller came in, and I'll never forget, one of my really close friends, he's a Padres fan and he was originally from San Diego. I was not. And when the Matt Kemp, I don't know if you remember, like the Matt Kemp, the Justin Upton, the Craig Kimbrell, the James Shields, all these crazy moves for a team that was rebuilding, and everyone thought it wouldn't work. And to be fair, it did not work at that time. But I remember my friend, I told him, I'm like, damn, dude, this is crazy. Giving up prospects. This is not a team that should be doing this right now. They should be building just a little bit. Then you try and do it. He was like, you know what, man, I don't care, because I'm just happy to see someone go for it. And I think what we've seen for so long now is it means so much to fan bases when you have a team that you know could make moves at any time. It's not just about winning, right? Because if it was just about winning, then the Brewers would have infinitely more fans and people talking about them. But it's not just that. People like excitement. They like the sex appeal moves. You know what I mean? They like it when you do big trades, even if it doesn't always equal immediate success or a championship. And it's just changed the culture so much. And now, Padres past 6 years have been top five in attendance in baseball. And this is not a Chicago. This is not LA. This is not New York. And frankly, even Boston, Chicago, places like that, right? They are one of the stories in baseball. And it's been amazing to watch, man. Seriously.
There's just so much energy from your fan base. Yeah. And it's just been fun. And I honestly, I don't mind the Padres. I think they're fun. I'm a little bit bitter that you guys ended up with Don Orsillo due to our incompetence.
Yeah, that's a like, crazy how do thing, you do, man.
I would trade a stud player just to get Orsillo back. That's not realistic, yeah. But I think half the fan base would. We've got Dave O'Brien, who complains about baseball all the time, and you know, probably because
that would have been a crazy deadline trade. Yeah, definitely. Maybe they don't do Joe Ryan, but they get Don Orsillo back. That would have been nuts. Yeah.
Oh man, I mean, it's so painful to go watch the hilarious clips on Nesson from like 12 years ago on how funny they really were. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've never seen it, type in Don Orsillo boob grab.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, it's the funniest.
You don't even have to type that in. If you just type in funny baseball announcer moments, it's one of the second or third.
Probably. Know what I mean?
Like, it's immediately there. It's insane.
And the funniest thing is to, like, a minute in, to listen to, like, the silence as they're trying to recover from it. And then they just start laughing like first graders, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. There's so much cool things about the Padres, and I think the Red Sox fan base, we're just so mad at the path we've taken, you know, through the Bloom era. And Breslow has done better, and you know, we've got a weak schedule coming up, so I feel like more likely than not we will slip into a wild card spot here. Our records are very similar, by the way. I think you're what, 12 or 13 games above.
Yes, I believe they have 63 wins right now at the time of this recording.
In 51 losses.
Now, let me see. What are we? Yeah, 64 wins. My bad. 64 and 51. Okay. And you guys are 64 and 52. So there you go. Big series. Should be a lot of
fun. Yeah. And so it's been a lot of fun. So how long have you been? Are you in San Diego now?
I am not. I actually just was. You just missed me.
Okay.
For all my San Diego fans out there, I was just there. From the 23rd to the 29th, and I got to watch the walk-off game against the Mets, which was sick. Obviously. And it's funny because I had gone to San Diego another time before that, like a month and a half before this 23rd to 29th, and then the one game we went to, I missed the only run that the Padres scored. I was in the bathroom. It was a Tatis home run. So I was like, this is bad. And they were really bad. They got swept by the Rays. They scored like two runs in total against the Blue Jays. So I was bad luck. And then I went back and everything got fixed, I guess. And then I came back and then the deadline happened. So originally, no, man. Yeah, currently based out of the Jersey. Currently undisclosed location as of right now. But hanging in there, man. It's been fun. It's been fun adapting and learning about a team that I'm been so far away from. I think
it's funny because I mentioned off the air I'm going to be driving from Maine to my home now in South Carolina tomorrow night, and on the way up, though, we always leave South Carolina at about 1:30, so we'll miss the traffic in DC. And then the part where I struggle the most is the Jersey Turnpike. For some reason, I don't know why. It's I'm tough, like yeah. fighting it so bad staying awake, and then by the time we get to the George Washington, I'm usually in better shape. But all right, so how long have you been doing the Locked On podcast?
I've been doing this since late 2019. I believe I started in like December or so, or at least that's when I was brought on and I started getting things ready and basically really started getting into it like in January and whatnot. And then the world ended. So it was a really interesting time to start covering a team when the world was over. I was like, oh, is there even going to be baseball anymore? Is there going to be anything? And of course, we got back to it. So it was a really weird time to cover that team, let alone any team, frankly. I still am. I'm more of like a pop culture person, but I love both. I love pop culture and sports. And I did a radio show in college predominantly about pop culture. And I just knew someone who put out like a little note. Because I, you know, I just graduated college at the time, and so I'm looking for work. And I was like, oh, this sounds fun as like a little side thing to do. And they posted teams that were available, and it was like Padres, Red Sox, I believe, was actually available at the time. Of course not, never in a million years, right? And a couple other teams. And my friend had kind of, who I mentioned earlier, the one who was cool with all the 2015 moves. So I was like, well, I know Tatis, and I love Manny. I've got some love for him. So I started following them more. And more in depth and learning about the history and all that stuff. And it's been a crazy 6 years because this is really when they took off. Preller started in 2015, but they really took off basically in 2020. That's when they get the Slam Diego moniker, right? That's when they, right after that, they make the Darvish and Blake Snell trades, right? And then who knew they were going to one-up that with the Juan Soto trade? And who knew they were going to trade even more prospects? Who knew Jackson Barrel and all this stuff? So it really felt like I got in on the ground level of what has been like one of the bigger stories in baseball, which is the Padres in any respect, whether it be sometimes I'm being disappointing, right? 2023, 2021, but then also just a team that, dare I say, the only team where the engagement bait reports about like, this team is interested in blank, that the Padres are the only team where you actually have to, you don't take it with a grain of salt. You're like, yeah, I could see them do any of this because everything that over the past 6 years or so. So it's been a blast, man.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like you started at the perfect time outside of the pandemic kind of shortening the year and all the uncertainty that took place, because there was a lot of fighting between the union and the league on how many games it would be, what the pay would be and all that. And definitely one of the more depressing years of my life, just not being a baseball grinder that I am, not having it was kind of brutal. And then we sucked anyway. So the whole year was lost. The Padres did okay. You made the playoffs. Yeah,
we did.
They had a weird format that year.
They beat the Cardinals, and that's when Tatis did his bat flip heard round the world. And well, first he did the 3-0 bat flip, which is, oh no, that was a whole thing against the Rangers. And then he did the bat flip in game two of the wild card series against the Cardinals. And then that was the cover for MLB The Show. I believe the very next year. So again, really wild to just be like, I guess I picked the right team. You know what I mean? Like one of those moments where I was just like, this is crazy that they're in the center of every conversation now. And it's a team that never had been. It's not like I picked the Yankees. You know, the Yankees can do anything. Boston can do a lot of things too and make the news. Not the Padres, but now they do all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's just fast forward now. You guys were super active at the deadline, and you guys wanted Jaren Duran. And was he a guy that you coveted in particular?
No, not really. I think that it was just fun to talk about, and I do think he's a great player. But one of my takes on him lately has been, I'm just a little bit worried that this is Brian Reynolds, where it's a guy that every team was rumored to be interested in, a player that the team, not as much in the case of Boston, I don't think, but in the case of the Pirates, where it's, oh, they want a Soto-like package. It was like, all right, let's calm down now. And it feels like everyone is just honed in on the 1-6 win season that Brian Reynolds had. And he's just the type of player that every team would like to have, but is distracted from the fact that he's kind of just an average, okay, major leaguer. And now he's just bad, by the way. Shout out to Brian Reynolds. That was not to be mean, but. And with Jaren Duran, granted, much smaller sample size that we have to go on right now, but I was a little bit worried that this is a guy that's going to cost every prospect in your farm, and he's got all the control. I get that, but I felt like, hey, you can kind of go around and get a decent player, maybe like a Laureano, which is what they ended up doing. So I wasn't huge on him. I wouldn't have hated if they traded for him, because they ended up still blasting their farm system to oblivion. But for me, I look at him as, you know, he's like probably going to end up being a 4-win player, and that's good. He's got years of control. I like him, but I didn't fully know if he has that 1 year, 6.8 last year, Woods above replacement. Other than that, good player before then. Were we kind of Preller? One thing about him is they don't buy low. You know what I mean? This is not a team that usually sneaks in, right? They love going for the big blockbuster trade all the time. So I wasn't wild about it. I didn't hate it, but wasn't wild about it. And then Stephen Kwan was a rumor. So it was just a wild stretch. And it was funny because it seems like Preller was interested for a long time. Like, he did not let this go and just kept asking Boston, apparently, like, over and over. And there was that rumor that they offered C. Salas and another prospect for him. I don't know if that was, some people said that wasn't true, but it was clearly in the rumblings, and there's probably conversations for a long time over the last few months.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned last year, you know, that was like off the charts for Duran. And if you go to F4, I think he was in the eights somewhere.
He was 6.8.
Oh, that was Fangraphs?
Yeah, that's Fangraphs. Yeah.
Okay. My bad. And, you know, I don't think he'll ever touch that again, but I think he could be a perennial 4 or 5 war guy, you know, for the next few years anyway.
Absolutely.
The concern that Boston fans have about him is so much of his game is predicated on his speed. Mm. And that's the first thing to go typically for a player. But right now, I mean, he had a terrible start to the year, and I don't know if the trade rumors kind of lit a fire under him, but in the last month, he's hitting .303 with a .387 on base, looking very much like last year. Mm-hmm. And he's not stealing bases as much as we would like, but you know, he's hitting for extra bases, and he can just impact a game in so many ways. So I'm personally glad we kept him. But, you know, as Boston fans, we talked about ad nauseum. We have this extreme surplus of outfielders. I mean, we got Willie Abreu, Roman Anthony, who's obviously our stud. He was probably one of the few untouchable guys, just signed an extension yesterday. And then Seydon Rafael is having a breakout year,
yeah.
But we're so lefty heavy. I don't think there's ever, he was probably untouchable as well, being a, you know, a big righty guy. So it seemed plausible that we could move Duran, but he's honestly my favorite player. So I'm kind of glad we kept him. Some of the guys you did get, you mentioned Ramon Laureano, who's kind of a journeyman, but the dude's been a spark plug since he's been there. You got JP Sears, Mason Miller from Oakland, or whoever you want to call him now, Sacramento, Ryan O'Hearn, and Freddie Fermin. So which ones do you like? I mean, which ones are going to impact your playoff run the most of that group?
I mean, I got the ultimate cliche for you, Bad, but all of them. I think that this is a team that had the worst OPS in baseball among left fielders, production from that position, and they had the second worst OPS at catcher. So anything basically was going to be better than what they had, right? And that's why I think the Duran rumors kept going, especially with left field. And now you get Laureano, who's been on fire. He's like a 900 OPS guy, granted, just through like four or five games, but he's been great, and he's been really great all year. So that's a nice get. Plus, he has club control for next year, so you're at least pretty okay for that. Ryan O'Hearn is just going to be a cool DH for the team, who's going to be able to hit there and hit some extra base hits, hopefully. A team that really hasn't had that all year. They really lack slugging. They've been a bullpen, defense, starting pitching type team, all about run prevention. So that helps. And then Freddie Fermin has a couple years of control. He might even have a little bit more upside, but really, Martín Maldonado was playing a lot for this team. And Martín Maldonado has been good in 4 years, and he's 40. And he was among one of the worst catchers in baseball at the time of the Fermin acquisition. This is a guy who let... He had the most pass balls in Major League Baseball. He was terrible at framing. He couldn't throw out runners, and he struck out at a 30% rate. Like, he was terrible. And a lot of Padres fans were really like, why is this guy starting? Like, can't we just call up any prospect, frankly? Like, whoever it is, you got to have somebody. Luis Campizano, one of their catchers, who's a little bit of a failed prospect, but they were hoping for him. And Fermin has looked pretty good. He had a 3-for-4 game on Wednesday. And he's just going to be solid, man. Like, it's just... One of the things that made the Padres so good last year, and I think a potential like World Series team, was, yes, you had Jackson Merrill, right? Like, being as good as he was that first year and showing some signs of bouncing back from what has been a sophomore slump so far. but it was also Jerks and Profar. It was Donovan Solano. It was Kyle Higashioka. They finally had more than just stars, I think, at the top of their lineup. They had a nice crop of bench guys to help fill out the rest of that lineup. And with Laureano, O'Hearn, and Fermin, that's the equivalent of the Profar, Donovan Solano, and Kyle Higashioka tandem that I think is going to help them big time. And not to mention, they just have the Justice League bullpen now, right? Like, that's all they need. So they can only, if they score four runs, they could probably win a game. So they scored three, they could probably win a game, right? They just need a little bit of a lead. And with this bullpen, they can throw Morejon at you. This is the first team in Major League history to send three relievers to the All-Star game the same year. That's crazy. And they just added another one who's probably better than all the ones that they have right now, talent-wise, in Mason Miller. So the vibes with the Pirates are pretty good right now, man. But they will be facing a big test, right? This is still a team that has struggled against some of the good teams. They've been better lately, but first half of the season, a little bit of a strength of schedule merchant, dare I say, the Padres. But now, we'll have to see, man, because Boston can swing it, even with the loss of Rafael Devers, right? They still got Bregman. They still got Willy Abreu. They still got Duran and all these guys. So it's going to be a really just the classic case of, like, you know, unstoppable force meets an immovable object, right? Like, offense versus Padres pitching, what gives is going to be the story of the weekend.
I like the Mason Miller aspect of it a lot, you know, having that elite back of the rotation guy that you have. I think he's going to be a big factor. And what your deadline kind of reminds me of outside of him is not one of those moves is like blockbuster, really, outside of obviously Miller, but you know, they're all role players. And you look at that 2021 Braves team, and they had a similar deadline. I mean, they got Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, Adam Duvall. None of those guys were, like, you know, blockbuster type moves, but they all played a role in it. And was Soler the World Series MVP?
I believe it's Soler, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of guys in there that, you know, that can be critical in certain roles. Some guys on our crew were interested in Ryan O'Hearn, but he looks like he's more of a platoon guy. I mean, he doesn't have only 65 at-bats, or 57, rather, against lefties this year. He's hitting .246 with a .338. Only one home run. His 13 other home runs come against righties. So is that going to be like a platoon thing for you guys? Do you know how that's going to play out?
Yeah, I think they're going to mostly use O'Hearn just because he's overall been a better player this year, right? Like, this guy is, like, genuinely been really good. And also, he's been good years before this, but he's really having a breakout year. 131 WRC plus right now. He's got 14 home runs. Like, he's been really good for Baltimore, don't get me wrong. And with the Padres, he had that game-tying home run the other day, which was very, very lovely. I was a fan of that. But I'm with you. I think that it's possible. Gavin Sheets is not very good against lefties, so it's possible that they give him more days off in that regard. And I think that that's what they're going to have. But mostly O'Hearn is probably going to hit. And O'Hearn's been good against both lefties and righties. Not as much lefties, but still good. 110 WRC plus this year. And I believe his career numbers are kind of similar. I'm actually pulling them up right now. For his career, he hasn't been as good against lefties. So I don't know what they're going to do exactly necessarily all the time. But I think that the on-base skills, the overall talent of the O'Hearn bat is probably better than Sheets, but I just like that they have so many mix and match possibilities. Sometimes they may play Gavin Sheets left field. They've done that a little bit this year before the deadline. They could do that. They can have nights where Jose Iglesias is playing third base, right? And Manny Machado DHs, which is they've done, and they made a nice comeback the other day. So just the options, if Gavin Sheets is a bench bat, like, you've got a pretty good lineup. If Jake Cronenworth, who's a 114 WRC plus guy, right? Like, he's a good, he gets on base, hits for a decent amount of power, draws walks, all that sort of stuff. And he's your eight bat. Like, that's a really good lineup that even though they haven't gotten the full star power out of Tatis, right? They have gotten it out of Machado, but Maryland Tatis a little bit on the offensive side of things have not been as good this year. Well, they make up for it in depth, right? And that's been the criticism of this Padres team for a while, is that they're a little bit more, you know, pizzazz and stars and they don't have the depth, but right now they do.
Dylan Cease was in a lot of, trade rumors throughout the months of June and July. and, you know, not having the best year. He's gotten rocked a couple of times recently, a couple starts ago against the Mets, and then earlier in July against the Diamondbacks, but he's had some decent starts sprinkled in. Are you kind of glad that you ended up keeping him?
Yes, I am. I think my thing with Cease is it's complicated, because if you're going to get rid of some of their prospects, you know, they gave up Stephen Kolek and Ryan Berger, two back end rotation guys that have been good for them. Then at that point, my thing is just keep him, because you're not going to get for a Boris client that Dylan Cease is, with this being the last year, right? He'd be a rental for the rest of this year, and that's it, especially being a Boris guy. So you're not going to be able to extend him. I don't know what you're going to get if you're a win now team for a player like that. So I'd rather just be like, you know what? Let's hope the talent comes through. There are plenty of pitchers that stink for the first half and turn it on later. And the talent is better than anything you could get, which is why I think you heard the rumor that the Padres are asking the Astros for like Spencer Arrighetti and three other players. Like, they were never going to trade him. They were only trading him if they really got an overpay for a guy who has really underperformed this year. And teams didn't want to do it, and understandably why, especially with him not being as great this year. But I think they're like, you know what? Let's take, it's worth it. It's worth the chance. You got to get through the season, right? When we get to the playoffs, we can have the conversation about, is he going to be a guy that starts? I think he is. But I wouldn't hate it if they didn't. And now they don't really have to, right? That's the great thing about this team, is with the bullpen, you could just have a guy go four innings and you might be able to win a playoff game like that, right? That's how talented the bullpen is with those five guys. And, you know, there's also the upside that he turns into what he was last year and what he was the year before, like a really good, a guy who can be really volatile and he can give up some really hard hits, but the strikeout potential is there and you need that, right? And you don't know how a rotation is going to pan out for the rest of the season. It's never bad to have too much pitching, unless you're the Mariners sometimes and you refuse to trade it for good bats. But for the most part, you want to have extra platoons, you know, you want to have extra people in your troop. You know what I mean? You have extra stuff. So I think that's what they were thinking, and I'm happy they kept them.
Yeah. I mean, the Red Sox, there was talk of a 6-man rotation at the start of the season, and then dudes just started going down. Cutter Crawford and I forget, Brian Baio, I don't think was available.
Tanner Hook, I think, right too. Away.
He just went down. He's going to have Tommy John. Yeah. He's been a guy who's just kind of struggled, and I'm not sure what his future will be, but we know, you know, you can never have too much pitching. And right now we've got Dustin May, who didn't look good last night. We don't really have a five hole guy. It could be Richard Fitz or someone. Bueller looks kind of cooked too. So
yeah, it's been sad seeing that. I thought that was a great signing too.
Yeah. He was definitely on my wish list. We needed two starters. He was kind of like my number two guy. And then we needed an ace. And, I really coveted, George Kirby the most, but,
Seattle's just not moving that guy. That guy's winning a Cy Young, by the way. That's my take of the show. I've been on this for 3 years now. I don't know when it's going to happen, but he's winning a Cy Young at some point.
Yeah. He doesn't walk anybody either. He
doesn't walk anybody, and the curveball is getting better every year. I like it. Shout out to Nicholas Cade, by the way, on Twitter, who's like, hopefully it's better, the super bullpen, than what the Yankees have right now, which is true. I watched that and it was very memeable. I was like, this is a joke, right? That they completely blew a game, and it was specifically the relievers they got the deadline. I was like, this is nuts. This is nuts. And yeah, Michael King, a great point. Nicholas King also brings up on Twitter/X, making his comeback for the Padres. He will be starting Saturday's game. So on top of just this being a good series, you also have Michael King returning. So that should be really, really interesting, especially for the Pods.
Yeah, we'll wrap the show with the matchups. Nick's actually on our crew. Nick the Voice is how he goes on the actual show. So where was I going next? Oh, one thing we didn't talk about before we came on, but it did kind of come to mind. I mean, you guys have kind of blown through managers in the last handful of years. You have Mike Schilt now, who's a guy I've always liked, by the way. Had one of the all-time greatest locker room speeches ever in 2019, when the Cardinals beat the Braves. Just F-bomb ridden, like Al Pacino.
He snapped. Yeah, he really lost it for a second there. It was an out-of-body experience, yeah.
He looks like a dude who's gonna come fix your computer or something, and he's like, lightning rod. But I would say you must be a fan. I would think.
Yeah, and what's interesting about Schilt? First of all, I love when he defends the guys, for the team. And some people don't like it all the time that he always defends them instead of just being like, "Yeah, people stunk today." I like that he kind of gives it, not in a mean way, not in like the fake news, nothing like that, but just in a, you know, hey, you know why I did that? Because here's a number for you. And he did that. So you disagree, that's fine. Like he gives it back just a tiny bit to make it like, I just like that he has this. And it seems like everything's changed from people I've talked to who are a little bit closer to the Padres than me, not just by geography, by the way, I mean, like just in tune with the team more, are like, yeah, like it feels like they've been a little bit inconsistent with their locker room vibes over the past 5 years. Part of that might be because everybody keeps it changing, right? A bunch of different trades keep happening. But I think it also, they didn't find the right guy. There's a lot of big personalities in San Diego, right? Like this, and then you add in a Jackson Merrill, right? Like all these different things. There's a lot of big players on this team. And there's been reports over the years. Now, me personally, sometimes I don't know how to feel because, oh, there's frustration in a locker room for a team that's bad. Well, yeah, duh. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't always know if that's breaking news, but I heard it enough times that it clearly seemed to have been something at some point, whether it be Soto, whether it be Tatis and Manny, when they had their public, altercation and whatnot, right? Like stuff happens. And from what I've heard, Schilt has really been like the perfect fit. And I was originally nervous, man. And the reason I was nervous is because, speaking of Cardinals, I was like, that's a smart organization. Why would they let him go? Oh, no. It turns out the Cardinals are dumb now and they haven't made a smart move very quietly. They're just bad, right? You see this happen with organizations in sports sometimes. I think it's always funny when it happens where we assume the reputation that's been established for so long. So it'll be like the Rays. Whenever a team makes a trade with the Rays, they're like, oh, no, don't trade with the Rays. Guess what? Eventually they're going to miss, and they miss with the Padres. Right. The Blake Snell trade was not good for them. Right. And one of the players they got from it is now in Miami. Right. And then Luis Patino turned out to be not a great pitching prospect. So it eventually turns, and the Cards, I was like, oh, they have to know something. Right. Like, why would they just do this? It's a manager of the year. Nope. Turns out they didn't know anything, and Schilt's been a perfect fit. So super thrilled about him. And it seems like it's the guy. They extended him. And I like it because I believe, and under AJ Preller, they've had something like 7 managers. And I was really critical. I don't know if I said I wanted him fired after 23, but I wasn't opposed to it, because if you're bad this many years, this many disappointments, what's the common denominator? It was AJ Preller. So yeah. I wasn't against firing him. I wasn't for it, but I wasn't against it. Turns out, wow, this really was one of those rare times when it's like, no, they really just needed the right person, and he's been great for them.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals have whiffed so many times. They gave up Adolis Garcia to Texas, yep. Sandy Alcantara to yep. the Marlins, Randy Arozarena to the Rays. Just so many whiffs there. And finally, Mozeliak is going to step down at the end of the year. But Schilt really just seems to get a lot out of his players. He got a lot out of that Cardinals team that was not expected to be that good. And yep. they were for a couple of years. And when you guys in San Diego got Bob Melvin, I thought, oh man, they got a stud manager who did such a great job in Oakland, a guy I would love to have. And then it just didn't work.
Yeah. Might not have been the right fit. And sometimes that might not even be a diss against Bob Melvin. I do know that he did get a lot of flack though for the NLCS. I do think Padres fans remember it. Robert Suarez, who's now the closer, you know, leads one of the leaders in Major League Baseball in saves, but he was a rookie. And he was a really good rookie, a very underrated signing that Preller did from an international spot. And he was great, an old, like 29, 30 year old rookie, right? And in the playoff game, they had him face Bryce Harper. And you had Josh Hader in the bullpen. So a lot of people were like, what are you doing? Like, don't you want to use your best reliever? And what happens? The home run heard around the world, right? Like everyone brings it up all the time. Like it killed him. And then that's the end of the series. And other than that though, like it, I don't think Padres fans like hate Melvin, but they're definitely like, he was okay, but I'm starting to get why he's never had, you know what I mean? Like I'm wondering if he's a little bit one of those, you know, like what Dusty Baker was beforehand, before he finally got his World Series title, where it's like they're a good manager, but for some reason doesn't always click. Maybe that's what it was with Melvin. And now he's in San Fran doing whatever. I mean, that team's very confusing to me. Although good, good, okay team. I like some of the moves they've been making, but still a work in progress, I think.
But they got Devers, and then it just seemed like they were sellers, you know, by the time the deadline. Isn't that weird? Yeah.
It's weird that, like, that was high key the biggest move technically of the deadline, I think. Although the Carlos Correa thing, by the way, freaking, I can't believe that happened. That was,
yeah.
This deadline, I'm not just saying this for the Padres, it was so much fun, this deadline. Like, a lot of, like, calling back your ex. Like, you know what I mean? Like, genuinely, you had Correa, you had the Padres calling up the Nationals about Mackenzie Gore, right? Like, that was an underrated fun part of the deadline. But the Devers thing was nuts, and I know that's been, like, I imagine you've done, like, 28 shows on the Denver stuff.
We're a, like, split crew on it, and I'm extremely pro Devers, but we got some guys that are glad it happened. So
I like both perspectives. Like, I've listened to, like, I'm a fan of, like, Katie Nolan's, and she's been pro Devers, and then I've listened to some other people like Carabas who have been like, nah man, like, I get it, like, you know, the team seemed pretty happy after he left. Like, it's been really interesting to follow. The only thing I know is payroll, man. Maybe spending. Maybe the thing that helped them break the curse and win all those World Series, maybe they should do that. I don't know. But I might be crazy. I'm not a Boston guy, so I don't know as much.
Yeah, I just can't imagine. I mean, there's going to be so many spots in October where you're going to need a Devers guy who's insanely clutch, who can handle the moment. And, you know, we've had some guys step up. So we're just along for the ride at this point. But none of us are pro Breslow, though.
Okay.
A lot of us don't like Henry, but we got the rest of the season to rant about him. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna, someone commented, like, Pivetta's the most consistent, having the most consistent year of his career, including Philly. It's like, it's true. Also, another thing for the Pods, like, acquisition of Ruben Niebla to be the pitching coach. He was the pitching coach for Cleveland for so long.
Cleveland, yeah. I mean, if you're going to put, they've always had a good pitching program. At least, what, three Cy Youngs out of there?
Youngs. They turned Kluber, that nobody knew about, into that, right? You had Bieber, and then just in general, having, even back in the day, like, your Danny Salazars and your Carlos Carrascos and all those guys, like, just really good arms. And I know some people who are a little bit closer to the Guardians organization, just a couple. I'm not trying to do like I have sources thing either, but just some people that I know were like, they were like, really? They thought he was just going to be the next manager, that they were just going to take him to that next level, and they didn't. And the Padres just swooped in and got him. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Padres have managed to not necessarily churn out Kloopers, right? But Dylan Cease cuts down his walk rate when he joins the Padres. Blake Snell wins his second Cy Young. Even some back-end guys, your Matt Waldrons, your Randy Vasquez, just making everybody decent, right? And that's why whenever they acquire a pitcher, I'm like, maybe he knows something. To be like, Martin Perez, I can get a good half season out of that dude. Happened last year. Oh, I could turn, Ryan Burger into a pretty good guy, even though he doesn't have the best overall pitching repertoire. He's okay. I could do something with him. It's been really fun to watch. It's great. It's like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, why are we one of the smart teams? It should not have been like this. But it's been really fun to watch, man. And I still don't know how. I understand how they got Melvin, right? It's the A's. The A's are like, yeah, we don't care about. We're nihilists, right? And our owner needs another yacht, right? Like, that's what the problem is with the A's. But then with Niebla, I was like, really? Like, he shouldn't. It's not like he should. And they let him go, and now they've got Stephen Vogt and whatnot, and they're doing things. By things, I mean kicking the can down the road like they always do. But nonetheless, thrilled that he's on a team that cares like the Padres, and no one can have him. He's ours. That's our guy. We love Ruben.
Nick wants you to fix Dustin May for us, but
I like Dustin May too. I didn't like that move because I felt like Boston should have done more, but.
Yeah,
I liked him once upon a time, but I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll take him though. Why not? He's a free agent after this year. Maybe we'll sign him.
Joe Ryan was the move for us, and so many conflicting reports over whether it could have or couldn't have happened.
Yeah, if they were close or if they were far apart the whole time.
Yeah,
it's weird. I can't fully tell on that one either. I'm with you. I don't know if it was really happening. I don't know if Stephen Kwan was really a real thing or if they were just dipping their toes in the pond and whatnot. But that's trade deadline season, you know.
That would have been a great move for you guys. Yeah. All right. Well, let's just, we're approaching the 40-minute mark. So let's just go ahead and move on to the matchups, which I no longer have up because I was looking through stuff.
I gotcha.
I do this all the time. Red Sox probables. Here we go. Every matchup in this series is really good. And I think the one game where you guys definitely are the heavy favorites is the Friday night game.
Yeah.
Nick Pivetta versus Walker Buehler. Pivetta gets a chance to stick it to the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. A revenge game. And then not a revenge game, but like Padres are like, we meet again, Mr. Walker. You know what I mean? Like, we meet again and maybe they'll get him. They've been a little bit up and down, I think, against him in his career. I don't know. I don't have the full numbers in front of me, but yeah, that one's an advantage. But otherwise, Giolito, right? Giolito and Michael King. Giolito, solid pitcher, and he's been pretty good this year for Boston too. He's had a nice bounce back. And then Brian Bale has been really good. And Dylan Cease is a, you know, put your finger in your mouth, put it up, and see where the wind blows. Like, he might have a 10K, 5 2/3 with no runs. Could also get blown up in 4. And he's really susceptible to giving up the long ball. He's always given up at the worst point. That game I went to last week, or when they had the walk-off against the Mets, well, he gave up a grand slam to Mark Vientos, right? Like, he finds a way to undo all. Like, he's going to start off amazing. I would make a bet on it right now. He's going to get 5Ks through the first 3 innings, like, no doubt. But then after that, he tends to struggle. And so that's going to be a really, really interesting matchup, especially. That being said, they are in San Diego, which helps them a little bit with the pitching side of things. It's not that green Civil War era stadium that you guys have over there with the green monster. So it will be a little bit of an advantageous position for us, at least this time.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a patient approach against Buehler, I mean, he doesn't have a fastball. They can sit on the off-speed stuff and actually wait to see if he can even locate that stuff, because he can very easily walk the bases loaded, as we've seen. So I really would be surprised if the Padres don't come through on Friday. Lucas Giolito has been, in his last handful of starts, really been on par with Garrett Crochet, you know, in terms of stuff and dominance and all of that. So, you know, I guess the big mystery is, what do you think Michael King is going to have? I mean, how has he looked in rehab appearances?
Well, I do know that he threw a simulated game and he cooked, apparently. Okay. I think it was mostly them taking it easy with the injury, because they know, right? Like, this is, you want to make sure with this rotation that he's better. You already have Darvish that you have to deal with. I'm expecting like a pretty short start. I don't think this is going to be anything crazy. I think they're going to be very careful with him, because this is truly like their ace and potentially maybe even someone they might want to extend come the offseason, right? Like, we will have to see if that happens. But I just, please be okay. You know what I mean? I love him so much. I love him so much, but I am hopeful and trusting that the Padres headed into the deadline. King himself, I think, talked like a few weeks back, and they were like, hey, like All-Star break. They were like, hey, when are you hoping? Hey, it's Michael King bobblehead night, is August 20th. Is that a day we can expect? He's like, oh, it'll be before then. You know what I mean? That would be bad if it's back then. So I like the confidence. I think they were like, he's okay. We're not going to trade for big starting pitching. Darvish is okay. I think we'll feel fine about this. But again, we'll have to see how it pans out. But by far, for the Padres, the most important game of the weekend will be seeing how Michael King plays.
Yeah, I mean, and if that dude is lights out, you're 13 games over 500. I mean, you're absolutely primed, you know, for a strong finish to the year and hopefully a deep October. And then finally, I don't know what to think of the finale here between Bayo and Cease. Bayo has been just surviving all year on ground balls and weak contact. Like, that's been the theme of a season. I mean, he's not a guy who's going to punch out 8 or 9 typically. And so it's, can the Padres put the ball in the air? You know, that'll be one of the keys. And then how good is Cease? I mean, he's been up and down, and 3 of his last 5 appearances have been pretty good. And the Red Sox tend to mash lefty pitchers more than anything. So, you know, Cease being a righty, maybe he can navigate this lineup.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'll leave with this, man. I just thought of it just then. I feel like Cease could be a Red Sox, man. I smell it. Maybe it's the facial hair he's rocking. Maybe it's the look. I don't know. I could see ownership as like, you know, maybe the fans get upset. Maybe if they miss the playoffs, they splurge on a guy like that. I don't know. Because no one's really talking about, like, what team is he going to go to? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really sure where Dylan Cease is signing. But either way, man, I can't wait. It's really going to be like Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, which Dylan Cease do you get?
It's funny because if you look at his baseball reference picture, he's got that full, bushy, gnarly beard going on. And he's
like that Napoli little looking thing, you know?
Exactly. And he used to have that neatly trimmed kind of handlebar mustache almost. And now that he's in San Diego and it's all gnarly, all I can think about is when Ron Burgundy got fired and just kind of let himself go in that scene. Yeah. And it's so fitting because it's San Diego. But yeah. All right. Well, we will just kind of wrap on that again. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time here. And it's going to be a fun series. I mean, it's two teams really trying to make a statement here, and only one team will. So can't wait to see how it turns out. For the listening audience, we will be back on Sunday to talk about what the hell did happen. And we will see you then. Take care.
Absolutely, man. Take care.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.